This is Arun Venugopal sitting in for Leonard today. Robert Herman first gained fame with The New Yorkers. His photography series from the 1980s captured on a Kodachrome. Now he's chosen a different device to capture not just New Yorkers, but people and places all over the world. The humble iPhone. The images are collected in The Phone Book. It's published by Schiffer. And I'm very pleased it's brought Robert Herman to the show today. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Why the iPhone?
When I first started shooting with the iPhone, I was in Johannesburg on a vacation, and I didn't really feel comfortable taking a big DSLR out on the street the first couple of days, so I figured I would make some pictures with the iPhone. And this was back when I was using the 3S, so the image was not that great, but I was using a Hipstamatic app because it was the only way to shoot a square. This was before Instagram, and I made some good pictures the first couple of days, and I said, well, maybe there's something to this.
Okay, so why the discomfort? You've been doing this for decades, and suddenly you don't feel like lugging a camera out on the streets?
You know, sometimes using the same equipment all the time, you get stale, and you need to shake things up. And one way to shake it up is to use a different camera.
So the Hipstamatic is this app. Is it like a filter, as we understand it?
Well, it's an app, and you can choose references to old analog films and lenses, and you make a combination of a lens and a film, and that gives you a look that you can consistently use over and over again.
How do you describe the look to somebody who's?
Well, I was trying to find a way to make it look like old Kodachrome, like my first book, The New Yorkers. So, I found a combination that felt like saturated colors and high contrast, and I wanted the images to really pop. And that's what I found. And then I stuck with it for 5 years. I used the same combination all the time.
And what were you getting out of this that you weren't getting with your cameras?
Just a feeling of comfort. I felt less self-conscious where I wasn't holding the camera up to my eye. I was holding it down here around my waist. And it just sometimes just you trust your intuition that this is what you should be doing right now. And I just kept doing it. And the more I did it, the more often I chose to use the iPhone instead of a big DSLR.
You felt less intrusive.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you can make a picture that looks like you're looking at your email. And I'm really a fan of authentic street photography where I'm not getting in between the picture and what I'm looking at. And the iPhone, in a way, is the best camera ever made for shooting that way.
How long did it take you to complete the series?
I started in 2010, and the last picture in the book is April 2015.
So it's a five-year, it took 5 years. Did the technology change significantly?
Well, I started with the 3S, and the last pictures were made with the 5S. And so the technology, in the sense that the computer inside the iPhone was much faster. So it was really... the pictures would load into the memory much faster. At the beginning, it was really, really slow with the 3S. And that was one of the reasons why I liked it, because it reminded me of the old days when you were shooting film in a manual camera, and it slowed me down. Without the motor drive of a DSLR, I had to take each picture a little bit more individually.
Is this unusual, or do you have a lot of friends who are doing the same thing?
At the time, nobody was doing it. You know, it seems unreal now, but 6 years ago, making pictures of the iPhone was considered a joke. And there was a lot of writing in the press about photographers and experts saying that if you're using the iPhone, the Hipstamatic app, you're not really being a photographer, you're not really expressing yourself. And the first time that you actually saw something serious was Damon Winter published pictures of soldiers in Afghanistan with the iPhone. And he got a lot of criticism, so he wrote an essay that they published in the Times defending his choices, and that was a breakthrough moment for the iPhone and journalism.
So early on, were you kind of closeted about your use of the iPhone?
No. I mean, it was nothing to hide. It was just, at the time I started, it seemed like a counterintuitive choice.
You've traveled to a lot of cities. How did you choose which places to go to? Or was it just organic?
I was very lucky. I was seeing someone at the time who was a film distributor and got invited to a lot of film festivals all around the world. And I went along as a boyfriend. And I got to see some amazing places like Johannesburg and Cape Town and Abu Dhabi, Cartagena, Colombia. And wherever I am, that's what I do. I shoot.
Do you think big cities are starting to look more and more the same?
Absolutely. And it really worries me because my first book, The New Yorkers, was about Soho in the 80s.
Right.
And it was shot on Kodachrome. And 90% of the stores in those books and all the graffiti is gone. And, when they keep closing all the little mom-and-pop stores now because real estate prices are so high, I really don't think that people 20 years from now are going to say, oh, I want to go to New York so I can go to Starbucks.
So what is your take on the city? Are you part of the New York is over camp?
Well, I don't want to say it's over, but I'm worried about it. There's a hashtag called Save New York City that I check out all the time. And a lot of my favorite places have disappeared in the last 4 years.
So it's places. Do you think that people, the way they behave or move or present has also changed in a way?
Well, when I was making pictures 20 years ago, people weren't looking at their phones all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're looking at their phones all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's less interesting.
What does it mean? Are they... Clearly, they're looking at something all the time. I think a lot of us have that frustration about just how sort of self-involved an act that is. What does it mean about how they move through the world, do you think?
I think they're much more focused inward than outward. The phone is really kind of an extension of your own world. And I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. Just photographically, it changes quite a bit what you're able to capture.
You mentioned Soho. Which neighborhoods do you think have become less interesting to you in New York?
That's a good question.
Is it the ones that are, just fanciest?
Well, a good example is 57th Street. Rizzoli closed last year. It was a gorgeous bookstore. And even though they moved to 26th Street, that's a real loss for the whole city, and it makes life a little less interesting.
And do you see the same sort of behaviors, as we mentioned, in other cities as well? Do you think other cities are catching up in the same way, whether it's that their self-involvement with the camera or other things or phones?
Well, everybody has a cell phone of some kind, an iPhone, smartphone. And where was I? I was in Europe, and I think I was in Milan, and it's starting to look like all the chain stores are everywhere. Block by block, all over the world. The human small mom and pop are disappearing and being replaced by big chains who can afford to buy the real estate even if they have a loss, because they can write it off and they can hold it long enough to make money on it.
Do you think the glut of images that we have because of selfies and the like, does that devalue the individual image?
I don't think so. I think that, hopefully images are a meritocracy. And the good ones, the strong ones, rise to the top. And it's really up to the viewer to make discerning choices about what they like and what they don't like.
But are you threatened, or rather are you competing with a lot more people now than you were 30 years ago?
You see, I don't look at it as competition. If I'm competing with anybody, I'm competing with myself. I just have... an idea of what I think is a strong picture, and I keep trying to make them. You can't compete with the whole world. You're just making pictures that you hope speak to people with a certain sensibility. If it strikes a chord in them, I'm happy. But I make pictures because it's my way of learning about myself.
Now, the book here, the phone book, it's square-shaped.
Yes.
The photos that populated, especially early on, Instagram, which has, of course, changed to, I guess you can have different orientations. But what has this meant, this sort of shift to the square picture? Does that actually have a bearing on how you work?
Well, like I said, I've been shooting rectangles for almost 30 years. And the reason I started using Hipstamatic is because I could shoot a square. And the reason I did that was because the square is a challenging format to make compositions with, and I needed to shake things up. And there's something kind of more formal about a square that you have to really pay attention to the edges of the frame, and I just found it interesting. And then when I showed the images to a portfolio reviewer, actually it was Jim Estrin from the New York Times. He said, you should have been shooting squares all your life. So, you know, there's something to it, to the square that just appeals to me. It doesn't mean I don't shoot rectangles anymore.
Now, one of our producers was pointing out that your book reminded her of a really good Instagram account. Is that a compliment? How do you take it?
Oh, absolutely. That is a compliment.
Why is that?
Because, like I said before, just because there's a lot of images out there right now, a good Instagram account is a body of work. And a strong body of work is a strong body of work, and people pay attention to it.
So what function does a book provide these days?
I think a book is a very special thing. It's completely analog. People can hold it in their hands. They have a control over how they look at it. They're not fed something that's made by machine or computer. They can turn the pages. They can start from the back and go forward. They can read it in their own time. And to me, it's a very human kind of soul-penetrating thing. And it's very rare in this modern world to keep some things that are almost ancient alive. Even with the modern images made with an iPhone, it's still made on paper and cardboard.
I'm curious, what's your take on Pokemon Go? You've got swarms of people visually devouring the world, falling off cliffs.
Honestly, I don't know anything about it. I just read about it in the paper the other day, and I kind of rolled my eyes. Sorry.
Constructing this book, how do you choose which photographs to place next to each other?
That is actually one of the most challenging and fun things that I do, is you start out with, I hate to say this, 25,000 images, and you have to pare them down to 100. And once you make an edit of the really strong pictures, you start to see that the pictures have a language, and the language speaks to other pictures. And like on page 4 and 5 of the main body of the book, there's a picture of the Louvre through a window on the left, which you see the triangle of the pyramid. And on the right is a picture of a hot dog place down on Chambers and Duane Street. And it has some similar graphic connections. And when I found that pair, I said, wow, this is really strong. Maybe I can do this 50 times and have 50 pairs that talk to each other. And it was also a comment on high and low art. And then what you're doing is you take these pairs, and then you sequence them through the book. So the book itself subconsciously has a narrative arc with a beginning, a middle, and an end.
So you do think there's such a thing as high and low art still?
Even if there isn't, it's a nice thing to think about. It's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek joke.
Yeah. What are you moving on to next, project-wise?
Well, I guess lately what I've been doing is going, I have 35 years of film negatives, so I'm scanning a lot of the old stuff. In 2003 to 2005, I was living on a farm in Georgia for a couple of years, and I have all this beautiful black and white that I'm thinking of turning it into a book soon. And of course, I'm still shooting every day.
I've been speaking to photographer Robert Herman about his new collection of travel photos, all shot on his iPhone. It's called The Phone Book, and it's published by Schiffer. Robert, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.